AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting.
Cock.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting.
Cock.
A camel churnum.
Hello and welcome to the Fighting Cock Podcast, Season 10. Is it Season 10?
Yes.
Episode... we've done a couple of episodes, I lost count. We're joined by Alex and John Boy. How you doing?
Yeah, fine.
Alex is in a really good mood. Thanks. And the more annoyed he gets, the funnier it is to me. So... it's going to be very, very bipolar this episode because Al's going to go mad, and the more mad he gets, the more hyper and happy I am. So,
we should be happy, right? Because today's a momentous day to be a Spurs fan, because not everything is shit. Not everything is shit. Heung-min Son's just signed a new contract. I don't know what's happening with Harry Kane. We're linked with two top draw centre backs across Europe. Like, everybody wants these bloody centre backs. They're good, aren't they? Bloody good centre backs. We're going to get them. So everything's great, you know. You've got the wall passes, and you know, you've got everything about football around Spurs right now is good, because we've had 2 years of it being pretty miserable. I got to the end of last season thinking, I can't do this anymore. Like, I get it; it's easy talking about football and talking about Spurs, but I got to the end going, I can't do it. This is shit. It's horrible. It's boring. I don't give a fuck about the intricacies of the game or the culture that surrounds it. I can't watch it anymore. I want to stop. And then, a week into the transfer window, and I'm starting to feel a little bit chipper about it. Alex, before we get into the potential transfers, or, well, we haven't signed anyone yet, so the potential transfers, what do you think about Nuno Espirito Santo? Because I feel like he might be the one.
Yeah, I said, we did a pod, didn't we, after it got announced. I'm excited. I like him. He's got some Poch vibes about him.
Does, doesn't he?
Yeah, I heard Alistair Gold talking about how he's kind of been received like among the staff around the training centre and stuff, and said very much that people were saying it was the same type of approach that Poch had, you know, being friendly with everyone, making sure he's known to everyone. I love that shit. Give it me. I'll finish seventh. That's all right. Just as long as I got that. Yeah, I'm excited. Why? I mean, if you can't... I can't go into another season like the last two. I just can't. It's just not worth it. So I'm going to be excited. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm proper excited about a couple of these signings if they come off. I'm glad the Euros is on are over with. That was shite. I just want club football back. Can't wait. Buzzing.
And what are your expectations right now, Al? Like, what can you possibly... What's the... You know, I haven't even asked you a question, and I'm kind of formulating your answer in my own head.
Yeah, I just feel like we're just...
Well, no, I won't, because I think I can answer your question better than you can. This is going to be a season that's enjoyable to watch. We're going to enjoy ourselves for the first time ever, right? Since Poch.
I think it's going to be... It's going to be different, and there's going to be some novelty to it, which is always fun. You know, look, lose the first three games and it'll be different. But I forgot what I was going to say now because you rattled on. Fucking do my head in sometimes.
I told you I'd answer it better. John, what do you think of Nuno?
Well, yeah, I think Al's... I think what Al said is really true, which is like I don't think any of us can or need to or want to go into another season like feeling like we did with the whole Jose stuff. Like, no matter if you, like we did, flip-flopped and got on board the train at certain times, there were real low moments with that, right? And there are also elements of he's just not a very nice person, and just he just was like a bit of a grey cloud over the club. And I feel like Nuno is the perfect antidote to that, right? Just forget the football inside. Just as a human being, he seems like a lovely, like, uncle that, like, takes you to the football and always buys you the best present at Christmas. Like, he just seems like a nice, decent bloke. He's also done a pretty decent job everywhere he's been, right? He's not ripped up trees. He's not Pep Guardiola, but he's done a very decent job. I don't think he's ever had players as good as the players he's got now. So... I've got to be optimistic. I have to be excited by that because it's ticked a lot of boxes around him as a person, and the football inside him. I'm like open to seeing what happens. So yeah, I'm optimistic, mate. As always,
John, you say that he hasn't done what Pep Guardiola has done. Has Pep Guardiola done what Santo's done? Has he ever taken Wolves to the Premier League? I don't think he has. He doesn't understand that level of football. I know he's elite, but it's all good being elite at the elite level. But 99.9% of football isn't where he lives. So, if anything, Nuno knows more about football than Pep Guardiola. And if anything, if you go by that logic, we've got a better manager.
If you do go by that logic, then yes. Although, that isn't logic.
No, that's like... that's the epitome of logic.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah, all right. Well, that's like, I mean, that's like taking, I don't know, Jimmy Traore and being like, well, you know, he's one of the best players the world's ever seen because he's won the Champions League.
Yeah, well, he's done more than Harry Kane's done.
Well, exactly. There you go. Bingo. Jimmy Traore better than Harry Kane.
Schmitzer won the Champions League as well, didn't he? And this is the thing, like, we're going to wait till Harry Kane come like to later, but... Like, you can leave, Harry. You can leave. You can go on and win the Champions League, but no one respects Jimmy Traore. No one does. Because he'd done it as a part of a machine. If you do it with us, it'd be because of you. If you do it with them at Man City, it's because of them. And you're just a slug.
I mean, in all seriousness, right? Mahrez winning the title with Leicester is so way more special than the... multiple trophies he's won at City since. No one gives a shit about Mahrez.
Such a good point. Because no one cares. Mahrez, he won a league with Man City last year, right? but he probably will leave this year, if not next year, having not won the Champions League. When he talks about his career, it will be that Leicester win. It will be that Leicester win.
Exactly, and I know we're coming on to Kane later, but I'm going to say it now before I forget.
Well, we'll talk about Kane now.
Yeah, the way that Kane look, and I tweeted it earlier, and I'm not trying to shit on Kane because look, you know he's the best striker in the world, right? But I'm not.
Sounds like he's going to cry then.
Yeah, but I'm not asked. I've never loved him like I loved Bale, Ginola, Sheringham. It's not been the same because whilst he's incredible and does these amazing things, his career has been about him maximising he's like a well-oiled machine. He's not an artist. He's a machine that has just got better and better and tweaked and version 1, version 2.0, and he's just got better and better each time, right? And that's just what his career will be now if he goes to City and wins some trophies. He would have won his trophies the same way that he's developed himself into a great player. Now, I'm not saying that that's the right or wrong way to do it, but basically he's gone from Football Club 1 to Football Club 2.0 to go and do that. He hasn't created or brought those games, those moments to him. He hasn't pulled them in with some gravitational pull because he's been that brilliant. He's had opportunities to do that in big semi-finals, in big finals, and not done it. And perhaps what he needs is a bit more support around him to make those moments count. And that's perfectly fair enough. But that will be the difference in his career now if he goes and does that. His career, in terms of the trophies he wins, will be robotic and systematic, just like his evolution as a player. And I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing, but that is what it is.
He's like a big-eared boy on the farm, isn't he? Just big and strong. And just... He was able to help out with the old man early on, very strong. But where did he come from? That's what you ask. And the answer is mum and uncle. If he leaves the farm and goes to join another, you know, bigger farm with bigger ear boys, like how big are his ears? Is all I'm saying.
No one's gonna begrudge you.
What does that even mean?
Different, honestly. Listening to Extra Inch every week for 6 weeks and then coming to do this. It's joyous.
We've all seen the big-eared boys. We always respect them until they leave town and go to the city. And then they're just boys with big ears.
It's fucking blokes walking around with fucking elephant ears in London, mate. And they don't know what to do.
Yeah. And they're not respected.
No. Ten a penny in town.
Oh God! No one's gonna begrudge him going anywhere else. Good luck to him.
But now the
price has been set. Now, if it's 150 million quid, I don't care what climate we're in. It's 150 million quid. He had the most goals, the most assists last year. He's England captain. He's a model professional, and he guarantees City the Premier League and arguably the Champions League for the next 2 out of 3 seasons. Yeah. Fucking pay the money. If someone said to you, "Do you want to invest in winning the in making the fact that you're going to win the Premier League at 90%, 95% certainty, but you've got to invest 160 million quid over the next 3 years, they'd do it. So just fucking get on with it.
Yeah, quack. You're right. It's basically spending £80 million over the next 2 years because it won't be 160 million pound up front. You're right, Al. It's basically you're spending £80 million to guarantee everything you want.
And if you're not going to do it, then fuck off. And then he can be all miserable, and I hope he stays, and we'll run him into the ground, and he can go next year, 90 million with no ankles.
He may want to join Man City, but there's no chance if we stop him that he won't give his all for Spurs next year. I still think that he's going to stay at Spurs, I really do. And if he does, he will give his all because that's the kind of man he is, seemingly.
Yeah, it'd be like the big-eared boy on the farm. You know, he's got an offer from Cravendale to go and work there, but he's going to slug out on the farm. He's going to break his back in the process, but he's going to stay.
His dad and his brothers would respect him.
They would.
Yeah,
they're
but if he goes
person.
Over to Cravendale, it's just some geezer called Dave who runs the fucking factory.
Exactly.
Don't go over to Cravendale. Work for fucking Little Jimmy's dairy yeah, farm.
It means more when Little Jimmy's wins, you know, Milk Producer of the Year. It means more. The thing is with Kane, right, is we all put the idea of like loyalty and clubs on a pedestal, because we all, I'm sure, put yourself in that picture thing. Oh, imagine if I play for Spurs. Imagine I was Spurs' like best player and I could break all the records. And you're like, why the fuck would you want to leave, right? But
I think I'd stop off. I got to be honest.
Yeah, cool. Well, obviously you would. But I feel like with Kane that he obviously cares about the club. But I think that we all just like project our love onto the club, onto him, because he's come through the academy. We just have this expectation that he wants to kind of break all the records with us and stay with us. And I'm sure if you said to him, guaranteed Spurs will win the league, but you'll get paid less, or you can go to him. I don't think it's the money, right? So I think that that's not what it is. It is literally as hollow as, I just want to say I've won it. And that to me is a real shame, because like we said with Mahrez, if he wins the league once, and that's the only thing he ever wins with Spurs, that is a much bigger achievement than winning 10 FA Cups and 10 league titles with Man City. So it's just, I wish someone, whoever's advising him, would just say that to him. Like, if you actually want to build a legacy, force Spurs' hand to spend the money to build a team that can win something. Don't leave and just go somewhere and maybe, look, maybe that's what he's done. Right?
I think that's what he's done. I must admit, as much as I'm not fuss, that's not the right word, but as much as I'm like, yeah, he can go now. I think that's probably what he did. That's what he's done last year. I think that's part of the Mourinho thing. I'm convinced that he not necessarily was consulted, but it was a big thing is to bring in that name, you know, and right, we're going to go again now. And I think, and who knows, maybe we would have if COVID hadn't happened, you know. So I think he's done that. And I completely understand his reasons for going. He wants to be able to, you know, he looks at, you can tell, but the way he has improved himself as a player, it's dedication, it's relentlessness to get to what he wants to do. And he has that thing about winning trophies, and that's what a lot of elite sports people have. I don't think we have kind of necessarily projected our loyalty. I don't think anyone expects anything from Harry Kane now. If he was to turn around and come out literally and did a press conference and said, look, I want to go because of X, Y, and Z, I still think the majority of the fan base would be, all right. It's only because of the way it's gone down. You know, what I've got a problem is if he clearly wants to go, then he should say something. Not all this secondhand stuff and little interviews just to try and protect his brand. Because
Maybe he isn't pushing the way people think he is.
Oh, come on. I mean, it's...
I mean, he is. Obviously, he is.
He's not stupid. He's actually, you know, he's quite an intelligent bloke. He's savvy, you know. He's not...
The lasting thing that you need to hear, if you listen to this, Harry, just notice the Tottenham lot don't respect you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're definitely not more of a laugh than me, son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come out to lunch with me. I'll show you. Come out to lunch.
Let's talk about something else. I'm sick of Harry Kane.
All right, before we do, because it's something I've been really confused about all day. Before we go on to Heung-min Son, which is a really happy story, and I loved it, and I watched that video that Tottenham Hotspur put out, and he's picking his five favourite photographs or six favourite photographs of things that happened, and when I'm watching it, I'm like, yes, I love this guy. But before we do that, what's the stuff with Charlie Kane, his brother? Because I've been trying to follow it, and I asked T, who sort of, he's got his finger on the pulse when it comes to meme stuff, right? T knows the internet, which is remarkable for a man who's nearly 50. The fact that he knows internet memes better than anyone else on this planet.
Child.
I wouldn't call him a child, but the... Oh, you would, okay. What's your understanding of it, Alex? What's the problem with Charlie Kane? Is it apparently he gave he had a wedding and Harry Kane said that he was
married yesterday, and the word is that the showbiz editor of the Sun was given a tip by someone at the wedding.
So if you're the sports editor at the Sun, you're fucking fuming at the showbiz editor, right? You're fuming.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think. I mean, it's obviously developed even more so today because there's been lots of tweets coming out that he's an Arsenal fan, which I thought was common knowledge.
I mean, Harry Kane wore an Arsenal shirt.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? Fucking.
Do you have any issue with the way people are behaving on Twitter, and like every time you tweet something that they post like the little snake thing?
Not particularly, no.
Do you have any worry that might force him to say, look, Harry, the Tottenham lot don't respect you?
Somebody after him. Doesn't matter. None of this matters, mate. We're focusing on, there's like, so what people reply to him on Twitter is going to make no fucking difference.
What you got to remember, right? I think people think that Charlie Kane has like a massive amount of influence in Harry Kane's career. It's almost as if Harry Kane's just playing football to with Spurs and go, oh, I like playing football for Spurs. I score goals and the people love me. And then Charlie Kane's gone in and going, yeah, but you could join Man City. And Harry Kane goes, I've never thought about that. Could I? Yeah, you could. Like, we could go there. That's not what's happening. Harry Kane's the best, like, as you say at the top of the show, Alex, Harry Kane is the best striker in the world. The team with the most amount of money who could possibly, like, feasibly afford to buy him is Manchester City. So it just fits together. Charlie Kane isn't the mastermind in this fucking this transfer. He's not. He's just his brother. He's basically, Harry Kane made it big. And Charlie Kane's at a job somewhere, probably working in insurance or something. And Harry Kane's like, do you like your job? And he's like, not really. Do you want to just do nothing for me and live off me, my rise and fame? He's like, do you know what, Harry? I'd love that. And I would love that. If my brother was offering me the same thing, I'd 100% love to just ride on his coattails. That's what's happening.
They're just doing their jobs. You know, he's... I dare say, you know, Charlie Kane's taking direction from his boss, which is Harry Kane. You know, so let's not have it this whole, you know, old, poor old Harry. You know, he knows what he's doing. He's trying to, like I said, the bit that annoys me is he's trying to have his cake and eat it too. You can't force a move and protect your brand at the same time. You know, and I wish he'd realise that more people would probably be like, okay, yeah, fair enough. Like, if he just came out and said, look, I've had a wonderful time. I love this football club. But you know my desire as a professional. I've said it numerous times over the years. I want to win the biggest trophies. And I feel my best chance at that at the moment is a move away if that's possible. If it's not possible and it doesn't come off, I will be here and I will give my all for this football club. It's not rocket science. And I just wish footballers would understand that sometimes.
Or sorry, John, before you go. Harry Kane has said to Charlie Kane, I want to stay at Spurs. I don't care what it costs. I want to be the Francesco Totti of Tottenham Hotspur. All right? And Charlie Kane goes, do you remember when we were 12 and we were in the bike shed and Diane was there? She's 48 and you fingered her. I remember that. The world doesn't need to know that. You're going to see. Poor old Diane.
She's done nothing wrong.
She's trying to enjoy herself.
Yeah, Diane doesn't need this.
She doesn't need this. All right, Heung-min Son. He's signed a new contract today. He did turn up at Hotspur away looking pretty miserable. Well, I say miserable. Miserable in his own world. But what you know, in the shadow of all this stuff, you know, with Harry Kane and, you know, the weird situation we find ourselves in as Spurs fans at the moment, to have, you know, one of our best players commit himself for another 4 years, which guarantees at least another 2 years at Tottenham, at least, and then a massive transfer fee if we're not in a position to keep him 2 years down the road, right? That's a big boost. We needed that, John, right?
Yeah, we did. I think he is, on his day, one of, aside from Kane, he's probably our next most effective player, right? He's our most dangerous player aside from Kane. And if we lose Kane this summer and Son, that is a big problem. That is like a mass, just from a attracting other players scenario, right? If Kane goes and you've got money, but you're also losing Son, then it sort of makes us, in terms of like a trend of where the club is going, is a bit of a downward spiral. And players, therefore, are looking at that going, not really. If Kane leaves and Son's just signed a new contract, then suddenly it's like, oh, okay, well, Kane's leaving. I know the reasons everyone's talking about. It makes us still an attractive proposition to play with Son. He is a like top draw player that people now, I think, respect, rightly so. And so for me, it's a case of there is no negative for this. There is zero downside with this. He's still got good years left in him. It's not like he's like 31 signing this deal. So he's got good, he's probably his best years actually will take him through this contract. So we've secured the value and we've secured a really good player. I don't see the downside with this. I'm really happy, mate. Really happy.
There is no downside.
It's interesting, this one, because of the contradictions to Harry Kane. Because so Son is what, 29 now? So it's amazing what motivates different footballers. You know, the likelihood is his son isn't going to win a huge amount of silverware at Tottenham. and this would be his moment to then go to another club where that option is more possible. But he hasn't, because obviously he's very content with where he is. Obviously money's not an issue, you know, and what he wants from his career and what he's happy with is different to that of Harry Kane's. And so what Tottenham have done, although, you know, I mean, like I said, at 29, he's not going to get a huge transfer fee at 30, 31. So we're not going to make anything massively back from it. I mean, we didn't sign him for a huge amount anyway.
21, 22 million? Which is paid in spades, of course.
So it's a really nice signal from the club to say, look, do you know what? We believe in you. We need you. We want to continue building the team as you as a vital part. And he's gone to the club. Look, you know what? I'm happy here. It hasn't gone perhaps as well as it could have gone in the last few years. But I want to stay and want to improve. It's a nice feeling from both sides.
What you said though about him being 29, like 29's peak. For any player, for us to tie him down, a player as good as he is, and he must, surely, like, there must have been clubs out there that would have been interested in signing him. And we're not talking about clubs beneath Tottenham's level. Like, Everton couldn't come to Spurs and prize Son away from us. But there are elite clubs around Europe that could have like, tested his arm, is that right? But, you know, he could have sort of made it difficult for us to get him to sign this new contract. We've given him a bumper deal. It seemed to be around 200 grand a week. But at 29, we've made a commitment to him and he's made a commitment to us, when there's absolutely no guarantee that he's going to get anything like the glory that his skill and his quality should demand. And the fact is, he has signed with us, and it maybe he just fucking loves us. Maybe he's a little-eared boy from the farm and he's just happy to stick around, eat some porridge, sow the seeds, get the harvest in and all that. Maybe he's just a good lad, a good egg.
It's nice from both sides. Like I said, I think everyone's a winner here. There's not much to be unhappy about. It's good news.
There's a lot of people banging on about Paratici. Like, a lot, like, if you pay any attention to Twitter, the football eggs on Twitter, they're like, this is the geezer. He's like, look what's happened at Spurs. This is amazing. What do you make of his introduction to Tottenham? And as you know, as fans who just watch a bit of football, you know, enjoy being a Spurs fan and like to sing at football and all that sort of stuff, do you take anything from his introduction at Spurs, John?
I've got to be honest, I've been like quite amused by like the praise for him, because like in an alternate universe, the headline is "Man Does Job."
We haven't signed a player yet.
we're just linked with players that we should be linked with, and he's trying to get deals over the line. That's his job. Like,
that's your job.
That's your job. In like 2 years' time, and the three players he signed and two of them have been fucking brilliant, then you go, he's been great. Right now, if he wasn't there, right, if we didn't think he existed and the same rumours and the same links were there, we'd all just be like, oh, right, cool, no one give a shit. Now we've got like a figurehead to like lord praise over, because he's suddenly doing something different, even though he's doing nothing different to what we've done before. Suddenly it's amazing. Now, I'm not saying that he's not doing stuff differently, but he actually hasn't done anything yet other than contact good players. Now, I haven't heard of a lot of these players that he's linking us with, which is not to say a great deal, right? I haven't really got my like finger on the pulse of like Italian prospects, but that's what we need. We did need a sporting director, someone who has got their finger on the pulse of emerging talent in other areas that you can get at a competitive rate that will add something to us. And my understanding is like these couple of defenders are quite rated and quite decent. Great, get them in. Like, I don't necessarily, that's his job. I don't necessarily need to know they're going to be good. They don't all have to be Premier League players that play for other like top clubs to be decent, right? Lots of decent Premier League players now came from leagues none of us had heard of and came from places and clubs and we just didn't know anything about them, and they've been great. That's what his job is to like find those players and convince them to stay. I don't necessarily think he's got anything to do with the Son deal, because my understanding was that was being done, or maybe had even been done ages ago before he was even at the club. So he's, from what I can tell, he's doing his job. So I'll wait to pass judgment until he actually signs the players, and then I'll wait to see how they perform before I, you know, give him his flowers or not.
Alex, I'm going to say a name to you.
Yeah.
I want you to make a noise in response.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian Gill.
Mm. Mm-mm. I'm excited.
You've never even... No one had heard of him.
I'd heard of Brian Gill. Get the fuck out of here.
Alex, he wasn't a footballer before we were linked to him.
Honestly, I'm genuinely excited about him. Genuinely. And what's nice about it is that I'd heard of Gill and Romero. I hadn't heard of the Sevilla centre-back chap. But, yeah, Brian Gill is lovely. He's going to be someone... He's going to be someone that will divide this fan base like you've never seen. I cannot wait. There'll be people screaming, just fucking pass the thing. Right? Oh, yeah, good. I'm excited about that. And the thing with Paratici, or Paratici.
Is it Paratici? Oh, you've been listening to the extra inch.
No, I don't write.
Paratici. No one cares. No one cares. No, it doesn't matter that we can't, like, English people can't pronounce his name properly. No, it doesn't matter.
It does.
Why?
It doesn't, because I've had to listen to people call Doherty for a fucking season when we had a player called Doherty with the same spelling and we called him fucking Doherty. So if I want to call him Paratici, I'll call him fucking Paratici.
And also,
Doherty's fucking
also two World Wars among World Cups, and we'll say what we fucking
like. Yeah, we'll say how we fucking like.
Yeah. Paratici, that's his name.
Yeah, Parrot Boy.
Anyway,
Parrot Man.
Yeah.
I'm like John. I'll wait. I remember us putting memes of Baldini in like.
This is it, Alex. It's a great point because he did a lot of business very quickly with a lot of money.
I would say is different is, or what's nice is that the names we're actually suddenly been linked with since the beginning of July are all like links where you go, all right, yeah, or people that do know what they're talking about go, yeah, all right. Whereas that hasn't always been the case. I don't think we're going to see many like Ng's and, what's his name? Who else was there that disappeared? Fernandez. You know, and people like that. It's...
Say another one.
Who else was there that didn't last very long?
Just let
George.
Him stew. Let him stew. Come on now.
Come on, you can do it, Al.
There's loads.
One more for £1 million. Go.
Just go.
One more, £1 million.
Yeah, one shitty player that we signed that just was rubbish and we just...
Oh, Ricardo Rocha, who I quite liked. Actually.
All right, fair enough. We'll give him that.
Kieran, I maintain to this day that nothing was better viewing with Tottenham Hotspur than Fazio and Kirikez at the back. Absolutely. I mean,
it wasn't...
Say what you like. Say what you like about quality, but the entertainment value. Remember that little touch that Kirikez did in Europa League where he just touched it? I've never celebrated something that isn't a goal in my life as much as that. But yeah, so I just feel that... I do feel that he's probably a step above. He's a quality operator in his own sphere. Look, it's dependent on what actually comes in. But... If what they're saying is true, we've got a relatively decent second string goalkeeper now, which I think is important. The older Hugo gets, if Romero comes in, I mean, he is a proper throwback. Romero.
I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about him, other than the fact that he was the highest rated defender in the Serie A. Everyone's heard that, right? But no one who watches football on a normal level. Like us lot.
I mean, yeah, but I do. I don't pretend to do anything else, and I know who Romero was.
Okay, you're right. So you're on the peripheries of the normality, right? But most people don't know who he is. Like, I couldn't tell you a single.
You're going to love him.
Am I? Why?
Yeah, because he's proper throwback. Like, when attackers get the ball like in that middle third or just outside the box or just a little bit further outside the box and they kind of got their back to goal, they're just on a turn and defenders kind of keep them at arm's length, watch to see what he do. He ain't going to do any of that shit, mate. He's going through them.
Brilliant.
He will go through them. Right. Yeah. So, one way or another, he's getting through them.
We're going to play a game here, Al. Me and John are going to list former Spurs defenders and you're going to tell us whether he's better or worse than those defenders.
I think he might be better than almost all of them, but go on, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Go on. I'll start with Gary Doherty.
Yeah.
Doherty?
I'm better than Doherty.
As a striker or as a defender?
Both.
No, as a defender. Well, I started low. I just want to build up to it. Okay. What do you think?
All right, Anthony Gardner.
Do you know what? Me and my friend Dan Newman, shout out Dan Newman, because I know we listen to this, we used to say... After Anthony Gardner had left this football club forever, anytime someone got the ball and was like dillying on it, or you're like, oh shit, get rid of it, it's like, oh, he's giving me the gardeners. And that lasted for a good 4 years. So whilst I'm sure Tony is a lovely champ, him getting called up to the England squad that day was one of the most surreal moments of my life.
All right, I'm going to up the end of the year a little bit. Michael Dawson.
He's better than Michael Dawson and a million in every way.
Okay.
Genuinely, the only one he might not be...
No, we're playing a game here, Alex. Just don't jump in, right? We're fucking... You're a guest here.
Get on with it.
I'm trying to like level this through. Toby Alderweireld.
Oh. I was just about to say, I think peak Alderweireld. Just different type. So, yeah, maybe not peak Alderweireld. They don't do the same thing, and it's not the same type of thing. But, yeah, peak Alderweireld might be better right now. But,
I've got one.
You know, Romero's younger and a much higher ceiling.
I've got one. Ledley King.
Yeah, he's better than Ledley King.
Fuck off! He's better than Ledley... Do you hear what you've just said? We're about to sign someone for €25 million.
I like Ledley King. I love Ledley King. But
everyone loves him.
Yeah, he was great. But you know, we never saw King at the highest level.
Yeah, we did.
Where? I mean, he sort of played midfield in a World Cup, which was great. He didn't play midfield for us.
I mean, that wasn't his peak, was it?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, he was playing in a mid to higher mid-table club. You know, it was very good. But I genuinely think, I agree with Bardi, that Romero is, he's next level stuff.
Wow.
Bardi doesn't have the greatest track record in talking about
how
defenders.
How often do Bardi and I agree on anything?
That doesn't mean that you're right.
It does.
Because two wrongs don't make a right, does it?
Well, it does. I think of all the stuff I've been right about with Tottenham, I've been pretty much right about everything for about 2.5 years now.
Everyone thinks that.
But I have been. I said about Mourinho from the start. I said about that fucking Sacramento. I said it from the start about him as well, a little rat.
Yeah, but it's based on nothing. You didn't even know who he was when he turned up.
I said the same about Bergwijn, Lo Celso, Doherty, Ryan Sessegnon. They'll all be gone. Right, and I'll be right again.
Yeah, but you said Poch was great. He got sacked for being shit. So, like, you waited long enough. You're always right.
Well, let's not wind myself up because I've had a bad day, so don't start, all right? And that's, you know, that's crossing the line.
Just quickly, Barney also said that Sanchez would be better than King. That was on the Fighting Cup podcast. So, sorry, Barney. Like, we're not lashing out at you. I'm just...
In all seriousness, I think Romero is you know, you can never be sure with someone coming into the Premier League, but he's an aggressive defender, and I think that's, you know, it's what fans like. Fans will love him, you know. I'm sure, you know, there'll be a settling in period, and whether he does amazing or it doesn't quite come off for him, but I think at the start, I think fans will really appreciate it because he does the things that you can appreciate very quickly, and it's very obvious. Like, he goes and shuts people down, he goes through people, he's aggressive, he's big, he looks about 10 years older than he is. I love it.
Okay,
I'm excited, Flav. I don't know about you, but I knew nothing about this geezer, and now I'm excited.
I'm the type of guy who he'll see a tweet on Twitter that says Harry Kane signed a new contract with Spurs, and then go to the WhatsApp groups going ICK Harry Kane signed a new contract with Spurs. So I get hyped and get all in on it. I appreciate where you come from. I just, do you know what, I feel completely relaxed and calm going into this season because of all the shit with Mourinho and the expectation that was built up during the Pochettino years. And it kind of feels like if you ignore all the mental people on Twitter, that this might be a season we can just sit back and enjoy. And I'm going to say this now, and we're going to do a preview before the Manchester City game, but we are going to do them 3-0 at White Hart Lane. The headlines will be Nuno's new Spurs rises through the ashes, and you're like, yeah, because you've not seen this in football so many times before, John. Right? There is a narrative, and then there is another narrative that upsets the apple cart. Tottenham could be the apple cart.
Yeah, I think we will surprise people this season, because I've seen lots of, in passing, like lots of Spurs won't finish in the top six, Spurs won't be lucky to finish in the top seven, Spurs are going to do this, Spurs are going to do that. It's the same squad, all right, we don't know what's going to happen with Kane. It's basically the same squad and we're going to add to it. That before the season started, under Jose, people were like, oh, they'll definitely finish top four. We haven't fucking fallen off a cliff that much that we're suddenly going to finish mid-table. We're still decent. And I think this is perspective is what we need right now. We're all, and rightly so, as a fan base, we are very like self-deprecating, right? And it's a form of protection that we all use to keep ourselves sane, so that when inevitably it does fuck up and we do fall short, that we can live with that. However, I think that can border on like just making yourself feel shit and miserable and actually not getting the things out of football that we're supposed to get, which is like entertainment and fun and going to see your mates and having a laugh and all those things. All we ask for is a basic foundation. I've been as happy like when we were like just struggling to get into Europa League and then loving it when we made it. I was as happy then as I was last season, where we were expected to finish in the top four. Actually more happy. So it's not necessarily about like what happens on the pitch that can determine your joy and happiness with football, but it helps. And I think that we have a really good squad with a very capable, competent manager who will want to prove something. Like, let's get it right. He's not just coming here. I know we're all saying like, oh, he's a nice uncle and he's a nice guy. He's not coming in to go, oh, this will be fun, I'll just see what happens. He must be looking at this going, fucking hell, I could be the guy. I could be the guy who like delivers a trophy for this club. I could be the guy who gets him back in the Champions League. That he's going to have like things he wants to achieve in the game, and we are a good platform for a good manager to deliver something special. It might not, but it's going to be fun.
It's not like he's not Peter Shreves, is he? He's not like, I don't know, like Tim Sherwood. He's not like an interim manager. This is a guy who's done bits. He's done really well from Wolves. He's done well before in. I did read on Wikipedia where he went to before, but it said on there that he did well there, so he could do well for Spurs. Why not? Just, it doesn't matter, just why not? Why can't we just enjoy this season? Let's just see what happens, and maybe, just maybe, we'll win the league.
Is there a part of both of you, I'll just ask this question, that thinks like, actually it would be quite fun to have 160 million to spend on like strikers and players that you've never heard of, and then like a striker that like you've kind of heard of starts the season and we're like, oh, what about this other Brazilian geezer I've never heard of, get him in, and then he comes in and he fucking scores loads the second half of the season, you're like, oh, fucking hell, that is what football's about. That's why when people play FIFA and like do a career mode, they just fucking sell all the players they've got and just try and sign a load of young players, because it's fun. It's like, it's fantasy football, it makes it exciting. And there's a part of that, if it happens, where I'm like, yeah, okay, like let's just make this fun then.
I think if he and Al, you can answer now, but if we sold Kane for 160 and bought Haaland for 150, then I'd be over the moon.
Of course I would, yeah. I mean, that would be amazing. If you pay 160 million quid, I'll put him in a cab. But I mean, I don't care whether we spend the money or not.
It's too much to turn down, isn't it?
Of course it is. It's mental. It's not. I mean, it's not going to happen. But I said that I still think he'll go, and I think it'll be about 115, 120, something like that. I know it's not, but I think it might get to a point. I think it might get to a point. I hope it doesn't, but that's still the only way I see him going. If he's going to go, then that's...
Let me ask you a question, mate. If we were offered 120 million and sell him now, we'll cash up front, or we got 70 million for him next summer, as a fan, what would you prefer?
Yeah, I mean, it still meant we could bring in who it looks like we're bringing in.
Yeah, I think so, because you can buy in advance of the expected sales. Yeah.
Then he'd stay, and I'd sell him for 70 next.
So just lose the 50 mil.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, because look, you know, you're regardless if it's worst season, you're taking 20 goals out of the team, yeah. And that's hard to replicate. So, you know, my thought has always been that you know, look, he's at the age he is, you know, a mental amount of money, wants to go and win trophies. He's made it clear, you know, we're going to have to rebuild at some stage over him. Why not do it when you can actually plow back into the club rather than a relatively small amount? So that would be my choice, but you know, it, what is good about this, right, is that it might get to a point where we've got to bring people in anyway, right? So Brian, say Gil and Romero and, you know, say two others come back in. This is the type of deal that could collapse any minute. So, and all it takes is for City to go, do you know what, actually, it's just a bit too rich for our blood right now. And he ends up staying. So we can't really lose massive. I know we're going to lose the best. If he does, we lose the best striker in the world. But in terms of what the football, where the football club is going to be at in between now and the next 24, 36 months, whether he goes now or next year, I don't think we can really lose because I think we're going to have to invest anyway. We have to invest in the team anyway because there's going to be players that have to go. They want to get rid of Sanchez, Alderweireld, Lamella, you know, Sissoko, people like that. So there has to be people coming in anyway, which they have to do. They can't wait on whether City are going to, you know, pull the trigger on Harry Kane. So I think we're in a good position either way in terms of incomings and outgoings and where the club will be when it comes to the transfer window.
Alex, I really respect everything you just said there, but I want to ask you another question. At the start of that answer, your phone went off.
Yeah.
Was it a Tinder?
No, it was a girl saying that she was going to come round this evening.
Oh, yeah. Go on.
But I was a bit like, yeah, I'm tired and... Like I haven't shaved my hair. People can't see that, but look, it really looks like I've got a mess there. I need to shave that.
You don't need to shave it. Women like that.
Well, you'd be surprised. I shared. Actually, that's a patron type content.
Go on.
No. So that's just what it was. It was just arranging my social life that it doesn't.
What was her name? What's her name?
I mean, that's gauche, really, for a public.
Is it divine?
Make up a name. Make up a name.
Shanique.
Go. Make up a name. Million quid. Go. Go.
Yeah, go. Any name. Quid. Any name.
Go.
Any female's name. What's her name?
Kelly Marie.
That's the last porn star he's Googled. Classic.
All right. I think that'll be the Fighting Cock podcast for this week. We're returning in earnest for the start of next season, the week before the season starts. We'll be covering the what I consider to be... Oh, he's got his top off. But you it's won't hot. See this. It's and there's the.
You just keep talking. I'll see if I can distract you. Go on.
He's. You got to watch. Oh, he's got his entire body up. It's the tattoo that I like the most. The tattoo on his chest.
What looking are you quite svelte, Al.
Is
quite,
he
quite hench?
He's got his arse out.
He's so flat. His arse is so flat.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah,
No, none. Do some squats, boy.
Well, I mean, look at that.
That's good. That's pretty good. Yeah. Are you showing us his biceps now? That's pretty good, mate.
Shall I take my top off?
No, 100%. Please take your top off, John.
No, I don't, John, because you'll make me feel hot.
No, watch. He's got an entire fur body.
Yeah, I know. Look, he's taking his t-shirt off, but it doesn't look like he's taking his t-shirt off.
Actually, it's not
What's
too bad.
It
looks like he's got, like you know, one of those training tops that they use in football, where around his tits and his shoulders, it looks like he's like his body is monitoring his heart rate.
Why do you have like a 2.5 square inch area around your nipples where there's no hair? What's that about?
My nipples are just massive. There's no hair on my nipples. I've just got big areola.
You know what? I love that you two are like comfortable sharing. Like,
shave mine. Look at that. That shaved a few days ago.
Why do you shave your chest?
It's been like 48 degrees, Flav. I don't understand why John hasn't.
Hair is cooling.
John, have you been uncomfortable in this heat? Not like everybody's been uncomfortable.
Of course he has.
Cooler. Because hair is cooling, that's why you have body hair. It's not just to keep you warm, it's also to regulate your sweat so you stay cooler.
I thought it's to direct the women to the erogenous zones. When I get naked, I go where the hair is.
Yeah, but that in my scenario, it could be any part of my body, except for the base of my feet and my nipples, as discussed.
John's literally just a big ball of black wool. That's what he is.
Yeah. When John goes to his missus, go where the hair is. Go where the hair isn't. And
if he ever comes around my house, like my cats are just going to like just go berserk. They're going to think he's...
They'll disappear. They get on him, they'll disappear.
Fair. Actually, go where the hair isn't is perfect because that's only my face, my penis and the bottom of my feet, all three of which would be great. So yeah, this is exactly what it is.
Do you not have like a growth of hair up the shaft?
That's I mean, that's the manscaping, isn't it? That's what I keep the sort of pubes in check. It's the only bit of my body hair.
Anyone who's not keeping that in check is just an absolute
berserk.
It's disrespectful, like to not to, in my opinion. Like someone who just lets it go, and there's just a sort of pink helmet pointing out of a forest. That's not right.
Yeah. Look, and I tell you enough. And as well, like if you're watching like erotica, then if you know, like the thumbnails that you see as you're scrolling through, if you're seeing just a massive, great, big, hairy dick, you're like,
don't click
no,
on
I'm
it.
Not. If you're not gonna, make the effort, mate, I'm not gonna make the effort either.
I'm not wasting my time at 2 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Yeah. I don't need your 90s camcorder stuff.
I can see Ree.
Yeah, she's had a few gins.
Has she?
She's messaging me. Yeah, just finishing. All right, I was working, now I'm doing this.
Okay, well...
I'll put a T-shirt on. Turn the camera off.
John's being told off, so we'll leave it there.
All right. Livid, absolutely livid.
Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.